We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is perhaps the most familiar passage of the Declaration of Independence today, but 228 years ago, when it was written and passed by the Second Continental Congress, what really got people's attention was a long list of grievances against the King of England. Today, we barely remember the specifics of the colonists' woes, and so we called MIT history professor Pauline Mayer to remind us. Mayer wrote the book American Scripture, Making the Declaration of Independence. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
When the Continental Congress drafted the Declaration, relations between the colonists and the British Crown had been aggravated for some time.
Absolutely. The grievances went back to 1764. The opposition moved into high tenor by 1765 with the Stamp Act. But nobody was for independence until, in my opinion, 1776.
And so it was scuffles between the colonists and the Crown that really built the momentum?
Well, what the colonists did was spend 10 or 11 years trying to figure out who was responsible for the grievances. They did, in fact, escalate attribution of guilt from local agents of the Crown to the Parliament, to the Ministry, and ultimately to the King. Mm-hmm. But the Declaration of Independence is different from any other statement because it blames the King.
Mm-hmm.
And this had significance in British practice. To publicly blame the King for your grievances was, in effect, to announce revolution.
In fact, each grievance starts with, he has done this, he has done that.
It's very interesting. This is modeled, I believe, on the English Declaration of Rights of 1689, which accuses James II of violating the rights of the people. But it has a whole list of grievances that begin by.
Doing this, by doing that.
Yes, and Jefferson had done that in the preamble to the Virginia Constitution adopted in June 1776. Here he changed it, and it's much more emphatic. He has.
I went over the declaration last night, and I was surprised by how many of these grievances are listed against the Crown and how specific they seem. Let me read you one. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures.
Yes.
What's that about?
Well, the most prominent example was in Massachusetts, where the governor called the legislature, which usually met in Boston, to Cambridge, where it met, actually, I think, at University Hall in Harvard. There were those that said this was a vast overstatement of the fact that the Declaration exaggerated. In fact, it does in many specific instances. That University Hall was not uncomfortable, and it was perfectly possible for the people to put up the members of the legislature. And this was an extraordinary event to cite as a reason for leaving the empire.
Here is my absolute favorite, and I think for its simplicity. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people.
Now, this, I think, was very serious, actually. It went back to an act the British had passed in December 1775 called the Prohibitory Act. Basically, it allowed the Crown to seize American ships and their cargoes, whether at sea or at port, as if they were the possessions of an enemy nation. In anticipation of this, actually, Falmouth, Maine, which is now Portland, was attacked by the Crown in a perfectly horrendous event where the captain basically told the people to get out. He was going to bombard the town, and then he proceeded to do so. The other towns that were burned were Charlestown, Massachusetts, burned during the Battle of Bunker Hill. And what's most curious, Norfolk, Virginia, which was burned on the 1st of January, 1776, but it turns out the Americans were responsible. That little dirty detail didn't come out until 60 years later.
Pauline Mayer, why was it so important for these young Americans, these new Americans, to make this almost laundry list of grievances against the Crown?
Well, not all of the declarations that were passed by towns or states had such a very long list. But Jefferson almost, in drafting the document that we know is the Declaration of Independence, almost backed his way into having to do that, where he says you couldn't declare, break off from a government for light and transient clauses, that you needed a long chain of abuses. And so he had to give us several examples in order to make his case.
Pauline Mayer is a professor of history at MIT. She wrote the book American Scripture, Making the Declaration of Independence. Thank you very much.
Thank you.